The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sota has been dedicated by our good friends and Talmid, Mr. Haimi and Dina Dana, Hashem Yishmonem V'Chayim, for the success of their children, and especially the Fu'as Shelema Moshe Ben Dina, ולעילוי נשמת יוסף בן סרינה, דוד בן פרידה, נעיר בן זוהרה, משה בן פייגה רות, שרה בת אסתר, פייגה רות בת אסתר, אל אסתר בת יוכבת. רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תזכו למצוות. דף גימל. Today's daf is being studied in honor of our dear friend, Mr. Morris Dweck. Thank you for your continued support and hard work in spreading the teachings of Torah across the globe. Dedicated by the Maya family, David and Ilana Maya, Sydney, Australia. Today's daf is being studied. Lezecher Nishmat, Le'anu Nishmat, Mor Zekeni, Rabbi Yosef Ben Sara, Abraham Ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tenichem Began Eden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied, Lefu'ah Shel Imam, Sara Ruchama Bat Lachel, Vesara Bat Lachel. Inna refana lahen, inna refana lahen, rufat al-nefesh, rufat al-guf. Fuatam kerubah labo v'chen yiraso v'nomar. Amen. We begin today's daf on daf bet amud bet. And we are we're going to start Amar Lishlakish 3, 4, 5 six lines from the bottom, last word on the line. Amar Shlakish, Ma Lashon Kinui. So we learned in the Mishnah that the husband, he has to give a warning to his wife to start the sota process. That warning is called a kinui. But the Torah doesn't refer to it as a hatra'ah, which is a warning. So the question is, where did that word come from, kinui? What does it mean? So it says, "Davar matil kina bina lebin achirim." The word kinui means anger, kaas. Like the pasuk says in Devarim, "Hem kinuni belo el." They angered me. So this is an item, a warning that causes anger between her and other people. Because why? What happens is she's socializing with these other people. All of a sudden, one day she stops showing up. So the people get upset. What's going on over here? What happened to this girl? She used to come to our social functions because she's going around with these men. So they get angry. So it's an item that causes anger between her and others. Alma, kasabar, must be that this opinion holds. Kinui al pi atzmo, must be that this shita is going with the opinion that we saw on yesterday's daf, that kinui can be done by the husband. Now, if kinui is done by the husband alone, so then nobody's going to know about it. So therefore, v'kula alma lo yad'e dekanela. They don't know because it doesn't get around. When the husband does it privately, the world doesn't hear about the kinui. So what do they say? V'amre, they're going to say, mai dekama dekabadla. What's going on over here? What is this in front of us? All of a sudden she's becoming, you know, a separatist. She's separating herself from us. That's going to lead them to anger. Since it's not publicized, they don't know why she's not hanging out anymore with them. They don't realize that the husband made a kinui, because the husband making a kinui is a private situation. So since we're saying that the kin'a is between her and others, that implies to us that the kin'a can be done specifically by the husband. Therefore, they're not going to find out about it. Therefore, they're going to get angry. ורב ימר בר רב שלמיה משמד אביה אמר דבר המטיל קנאה בינו לבינה. He says, no, the anger of the kinui is between her and the husband. It causes strife between the husband and the wife. Alma, must be this opinion holds, כסבר kinui על פי שניים עדים. Must be, he holds that it's done with two עדים. What happens when you have two עדים? Everybody knows about it. To edim, the word gets out. To edim, it becomes a public issue. Now everybody knows already that the husband is suspecting his wife impropriety. So what happens? She gets angry at him. So that's what causes anger between the husband and the wife. Right? Everybody knows now that they made a kinu because the two witnesses publicized it, obviously. The and he's causing now anger between him and his wife. Alma kasavri. Both opinions that interpret the word kin'ah or kinui as an anger, that's a negative thing. So it must be both these opinions hold the asur lekanot, that it's forbidden to make a kinu. Like we saw, there's a shita that held like that, that really one should not make the kinu, because bottom line, it causes this type of anger. Uman da'amar mutar lekanot. Okay, but according to the opinion that says it's mutar to make kinui, so how do they learn the word kinui? What does it mean? Ma'u lashon kinui. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak, en kinui ela lashon hatra'ah. Kinui means a warning, not an anger. Vechenu omer, like it says in the pasuk in Yoel, vaykaneh Hashem le'arso. And God warned the people regarding his land. He warned them that if they're not going to be observant, so the locust is going to come into the land and destroy it. So vaykaneh over here means to give a warning. So that's a machloket amongst the opinions. If you hold kinui is asur, then kinui is menashon kas. If you learn kinui is mutad, then kinui is menashon hatra'a. Tanya ya Rabbi Meir omer, Adam over avera baseter. A person commits a sin in private. HaKadosh Baruch Hu machriz alav begalui. But Borei Olam will make sure that sin is publicized, that everybody's going to know about it. And what's the proof? The case of the sota. Lady sota, she thinks she's committing an act in private. But what happens? God is going to put a spirit over the husband to suspect her. And now he's going to levy the warning. And what's going to happen? Her actions are going to become revealed. So you can't hide. You do an action beseter, God is going to make sure that it becomes publicized. Shere emar ve'avar alav ruach kin'ah. Right, and a spirit of kin'ah is going to go over him, to the husband. Ve'en avera ela lashon hachraza. The word ve'avar doesn't only mean that a spirit is going to pass over him, but ve'avar means to publicize. How do you know the word ve'avar means to publicize? Because it says, Shlemar v'yisav Moshe v'yaviru kol b'machaneh. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu spread a announcement amongst the camp. So this is va'avar alav, that God's going to do it in order that it should become publicized and announced to the people, which means that kin'ah that the husband has, that already is from Borei Olam. Because God says, you're trying to hide from your sins of immorality, and it's going to become revealed. Va'avar alav ruach kin'ah, in order to publicize it. So comes the Gemara and says, Shakish amar, Shakish says, En adam over avera. A person doesn't commit sin, ela imken nichnas bo ruach shetut, unless a spirit of insanity overcomes the person. Which is, a person cannot sin unless he's taken by insanity, ruach shetut, temporary insanity. Shnei emar, like the pasuk says, ish ki tiste ishto. In the case of sota, now tiste means that what? That she veered off the path. She was tiste. She went off the derech. Now, if that was the purpose, the pasuk didn't have to use the word tisteh. It could have used different terminologies. It could have said, ish ki tisteh. Tisteh is that she turned off. What is it saying, the word tisteh, with a scene? So the Gemara says, you know what it's really telling you? Ish ki tisteh ishto tisteh ketiv. Which means, must be she became a shota. Which means she must have been crazy. Which means, the person doesn't sin unless they become a shota. And therefore, we're learning from over here that not only in this case of sota, but all sins, this is just as an example, this is a binyan av to all other sins as well, that a person doesn't sin unless he has a ruach shetut. Now that being said, the question then can be asked, how could you hold somebody liable for sins then? The guy said temporary insanity. So the Mefarshim, the Chida, asked this question as well. And the Mefarshim answered that really you don't get punished for the sin itself. The punishment for the sin is, would you put yourself in a predicament to get crazy? Would you put yourself in a nisayon in order to get to this stage? Like they give a famous mashal of a driver that was driving, you know, very fast, speeding, and he killed somebody, lo alechim. So when he went to the court, so the judge says, what do you have to say for yourself? So the guy says, how do you expect me to stop a car traveling 150 miles an hour? So the judge says, no, we don't expect you to stop a car. It's impossible to stop a car 150 miles an hour. But would you put yourself in possession in a position where you couldn't stop? That's the point. That's the same thing over here. Ruach Shetut. Ruach Shetut. But you put yourself in the position where the Ruach Shetut can overtake you. So therefore the punishment is, where did you put yourself? And that's why we pray to Borei Olam every day that God should save us. Lo lideh nisayon. Which means don't bring us to the sin. Once already we get to the sin, already we're insane. Lo lideh. Don't bring us to the threshold of sin. Okay? And that's not only by the case of Sotah, but that's by the case of, that's by all cases as well. Now, others want to learn this over here, that this is going l'shitat rishtakish. Rishtakish held that it's asur to make a kin'ah, right? Kinui is asur. So it's saying, ish ish ki teste ishto, it's going on the man. Ish ish, he's not going to make kinui unless he became a shote himself, which means, because it's asur really to make a kinui. So ish ish ki teste ishto means the shote over here is the husband. Because really he's not supposed to make a kinui, it's asur. He becomes crazy, like we said, the spirit comes over him, and therefore he becomes, so either way, you see that it's like almost somebody's possessed at the time of the sin, by the Yetzer Hara, of course. Comes Gemara and says, Tana, the bear of Bishma'il. Mepenemah imina Torah ed echad besota. Okay, now we go back to a subject that we discussed in yesterday's daf. We said that one witness is believed for tum'ah. One witness is believed to come along and say he actually did the act. So the Gemara, and we learned it from a pasuk, v'ed en ba. So the Gemara wants to understand why. Why would the Torah give an ne'emanut to one witness? One witness. But normally you need two witnesses. So the Gemara says shenaglayim ledavar. Again, because you have over here, call it circumstantial evidence, or you have like a fortification, or you have legs over here. Why? Share kinala v'nistera. You know, the one witness is preceded by proof. Already had a kinui. And you had a stira. Ve'edehad mi'idah shi'itime'ah. Followed by an edehad. So that's already strength enough to believe him. Amar le'ra papa la'abaye. Ve'ha ki'keti va'kinui. Batar stira ve'tum'ah hu dikhtiva. Very important. If you look in the Pesukim of the Sotan, Pasuk Yud Gimal, it talks about the case of ed en ba v'initme'ah. Right, v'nitma. She became tima. That's the pasuk tima. The next pasuk says ve'avar alav ruach kina, which is mashma that the kinui didn't come till after the tuma. How could you tell me in the Gemara that the kinui came first, then stira, then tuma? From the pasukim, it's mashma that the kinui came after. So I can just, which means it's mashma that the case of tuma was not talking about where a kinui came before it, based on the Pesukim, ve'avar alav ruach kina, that's the pesuk after. So it was amar le, ve'avar, uchvar avar. When it says ve'avar, it's past tense, which means, and we're talking about where it happened already, where there was a kina, which means a kinui. Even though the pesuk is written after, from the lashon, ve'avar, it means it happened already, which means there was a kinui that took place from before. That's how it's learning ve'avar. So the Gemara says, oh yeah, ve'avar means it happened already. Ela me'ata ve'avar lachem kol halutz. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven that they have to go become vanguards and go fight for the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael if they want to settle on the Ever Yarden section, right? So before they even went in, Moshe Rabbeinu says ve'avar lachem kol halutz, right? And all of you are going to have to go and fight. Now this was future. Now you tell me Ve'avar is already, it happened. It didn't happen yet. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them to go fight. But if you're learning Ve'avar past tense, the pasuk doesn't make sense. Hachen ameh. You're going to say that means past tense? No. Hatam midichtiv v'nichvesha ha'aris lefnei Hashem ve'achar tashuvu. You got to go with the context. If you go at the end of the pasuk, what does it say? And you'll conquer the land, and then you'll return. Then you'll come back to Ever Yarden. Mashma de lehaba, which means here it's mashma in the case of the Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. Ve'avar means future, which means you have to go according to the context. Sometimes va'avar means past tense, sometimes va'avar means future, depending on the context of the pasuk. But over here, what are you going to say? That the kinui was done after tuma? Va'avar batar tuma v'stira kinui lamali. All right, doesn't make sense. Which means if you're going to learn the pasuk over here that the kinui took place after tuma, what does she need a warning for after tuma? She's done. She did the avera. From the context of this parasha, must be the kinui talking about that it happened before. So therefore, you have to read it according to the understanding. A kinui has no purpose after the case of tuma, obviously. Okay, now we go to a new point. Tana de bir bishmael in adam mikane leishto. Right, a person is not going to make kinui to his wife. Ela imken nichnesa bo ruach, unless a spirit overtakes him. Now the Gemara, which means he's overtaken by a certain spirit. You want to call it a malach of some sort. And sometimes they call malachim ruach, like the pasuk says, Ose malachav ruhot. He's overtaken by a spirit, like a malach to do it. So the Gemara says, what kind of spirit? Shneimar ve'avar alav ruach kina ve'kenet ishto. My ruach. What type of spirit are we talking about? Rabbanan amre ruach tum'ah. It's the Satan. Why? He's trying to create machloka now between him and his wife. He wants to make like a little anger over here to affect the shalom bayit. Rav Asher Amar Ruach Tahora. Says, no, on the contrary. It's a good spirit, a good angel. Why? Because the husband's concerned about her tziniut and wants to make sure that the wife is going to be modest. So if he doesn't want it to be over the, the laws of modesty. So that's a good thing. That she says, Shesone et the perisut. He hates the perisut. That's Ruach Tahora. It makes sense according to the opinion that it's a good spirit. Why? Detanya, because we have a brayta. V'kine et ishto reshut. Some say that this inyan of kinui, it's optional, it's voluntary. Devre Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi Akiva Omer Choba. Rabbi Akiva says no. It is indeed mandatory, which means you have to do it. Which means we have a machloket over here, a very fundamental machloket between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Ishmael holds that this kinui, it's not mandatory to make kinui to the wife. It's optional. If he wants to make kinui, he's allowed to make kinui. Rabbi Akiva says, no. You have to make kinui in a situation like that. Now, I want to ask you a question. If kinui was considered a bad spirit coming over the guy, how could you say, well, it's optional, it's obligatory? What are you talking about? It's obligatory to go and make to have a bad spirit to come on you? Ela must be, it's a good thing. It's ruach tahara. Oh, if it's ruach tahara, then already you can have a machloket. Is it reshut or choba? You can't have a machloket reshut or choba if you tell me that the ruach over is ruach tum'ah. So the Gemara says that. I amar pishlama ruach tahara shapir. If you tell me it's ruach tahara, good, I understand the machloket that Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Is it optional? Is it mandatory? Ela I amar ruach tum'ah reshut v'choba le'iyule le'inish ruach tum'ah benafshe. Well, you can have an argument over here. Is it a optional or mandatory to bring a bad spirit into your nefesh? Can't be. So from the braita, from the machloket, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael, smash with the ruach, the ruach. Tara. Comes again with just gufa. Now we go to a very fundamental machloket. Let's review this outside for a second. There's fundamental machloket, three places in the Torah between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva regarding three mitzvot. Rabbi Ishmael is going to say that these mitzvot over there are optional, reshut, voluntary, and Rabbi Akiva is going to say, no, they are indeed choba. One of them is we just mentioned. One of them is kinui. V'kine et ishto. Rabbi Ishmael is going to say, voluntary, if he wants to. Rabbi Akiva is going to say, no. Mandatory, it's choba. The next case where they're going to argue is a case of freeing one's slave. The Torah says, Le'olam bahem ta'avodu. An Eved Kena'ani has to work by the master forever. Le'olam, mitzvat aseh. Le'olam bahem ta'avodu. Right? They have to work forever. So, according to Rabbi Ishmael, optional. Le'olam bahem ta'avodu. It's optional. Rabbi Akiva is going to say, no. Le'olam bahem ta'avodu means that Eved Kena'ani has to work for you forever. That is going to be a choba. The third example, the way they're going to argue, is going to be by Kohen. The Kohen says, Kohen cannot be contaminated to anybody, correct? Kohen cannot be mitame. But it says what? La yitama. To the relatives, he's able to be mitame. Rabbi Yishmael is going to say voluntary, and Rabbi Akiva is going to say mandatory. So we're going to have three cases in the Torah where Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva argued, is it voluntary or mandatory? Again, the three cases are kinui, freeing your slave, Eved Kana'ani, and the Kohen being metameh to his relatives. Okay, now the Gemara is going to speak this out. Gemara begins. Gufa. Vekine et ishto kama reshut. Right? Vekine et ishto, that says in the Torah, this is considered voluntary. The Vedav Ishmael. The Rabbi Akiva Amar Choba. La yitama. Case number two. Where it says by a Kohen that he can become tamer to his relatives. Again, reshut. Devrei Rabbi Ishmael. The Rabbi Akiva Omer, Choba. Case number three. Le'olam ba'em ta'avodu. That every Kohen has to stay by you forever. Reshut. Voluntary. Devrei Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Choba. Amar le Rav Papa la'baye. Ve'amri la Rav Mesharshia l'rava. Le'em Rabbi Ishmael v'Rabbi Akiva b'chol ha'Torah kula. Are you telling me that what? That they argue in the whole Torah, this subject over here, Hachi, Peligi, the more Amar, Reshut, the more Amar, Choba. Are you telling me that every mitzvah ase you have this machloket? Every positive commandment, are you going to tell me that Rabbi Ishmael holds Reshut? You have no more mitzvah ase anymore. Every positive commandment the Torah says, do this if you want. Just like, free, Le'olamim, they have to work by you forever, if you want. If you want, if you want. So I tell me, according to this over here, every single mizvat asin in the Torah, are you going to tell me according to the Mishmael he holds is optional? So if you did away with the whole Torah, is that how you want to learn this machloket over here? So he was done. Amar le hacha bekirae pelige. Specifically, these three cases over here, they're arguing, right? Because of Pisukim. Let's speak outside for a second. You need the Torah to write in these cases over here, because if it didn't write it, I would think it would be maybe Asur from another Pasuk. For example, Kinui. Now, Kinui obviously is going to cause Mahlok between the husband and the wife, suspecting her and this and that. Doesn't the Torah say, Lo tisnat achicha bil babecha? You're not allowed to hate anybody, you're not allowed to cause friction. Lo tisnat achicha bil babecha. Isn't kinui like a form of lotus nat aicha bil babecha? You're causing sin'ah. You're suspecting her. You went with this guy. Don't go with that guy. Well, you're not supposed to hate anybody like that. So that's what Rabbi Ishmael is saying. You would have thought that it's asur because of lotus nat aicha bil babecha. So when it says v'kinei et ishto, all it's telling you is it's optional. You understand? Which means it's not mandatory. It's to neutralize the lotus nat aicha bil babecha. Without a pasuk of kinui, I would have told you what? It's asur to do this item. Why is it asur to do this item? Again, I told you, lotus nat aicha bil babecha. You can't hate anybody. Are you hating your wife now? Oh, so what does the pasuk say? V'kinei et ishto? You can. Oh, so what is Rabbi Akiva going to say? Rabbi Akiva says, you're right. But how many times does it say kinui in the Torah? Twice. V'avar alav ruach kin'ah v'kinei et ishto. So therefore, from the fact that it repeats it twice, is coming to tell me what? That it's an obligation. See, again, according to Rabbi Yishmael, it's lotus nat aicha bil babecha. I would have thought it's asur. The Shtok comes and tells me it's mutar, but it's not mandatory. Reshut. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it says v'kineh t'shto twice in the Torah. One to tell me you're not going to be over lotus na, and the second one's coming to tell me not only you're not going to over, but you have to do it. Understand the machloket? Let's read that inside. Gemara says like this: V'kine et ishto reshut, devrei Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Akiva Amir Chova, my time at Rabbi Ishmael Savala ki aitana detanya. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Amir Kelape, right against what's written in the Torah. Right after what's written in the Torah, for example. What is written in the Torah? Lo tisna et achicha bil babecha. Yachol kegonzu. Would you have thought, like this case also, that kinu is going to be asur? Tamud omar ve'avar alav ruach kin'ah v'kinei et ishto. Which tells me what? It's okay. Rabbi Akiva, kinui aharina ketiv. It's written twice. It's written kinui twice in the pasuk. Oh, now what is Rabbi Yishmael going to do with the repetitive kinui? Rabbi Yishmael, Aidi de Ba'el Mechtav Vihi Netma'a Vihi Lo Netma'a Ketiv Name Veketiv Etishto Vekine Etishto. Okay, let me explain to you where the two pesukim are written. The two pesukim are written of kinui in a case where the guy warned his wife and she was teme'a, and she actually did it. And then there's another pasuk that talks about Vekine Etishto. He warned his wife Vihi Lo Netma'a. Well, she wasn't tameh, but she's, that's a regular case of sota. We don't know what happened. Now, there's a chidush in the pasuk of Vekine Etishto Vihi Lo Netma'a. There's a chidush on that side of the pasuk. What's the chidush on that side of the pasuk? That even though she's not tameh, you don't know what she is inside, what she did inside, she's forbidden to the husband. So therefore, we have a law like this. Anytime there's a chidush in a certain part of the pasuk, I don't care if it's a little repetitive, so long as it's teaching me an extra chidush. So therefore, the Bishmael, that's the Bishmael Shita, by the way. Anything that's repeated in the Torah, so long as there's a chidush in the item, in that section, the repetition is okay. In this case, it says like this. V'kine etishto v'hi nitma'a. That's the regular case of kinui. Warned his wife, and she became tameh. Okay, that means she became tameh. No chidush in that case. That's obviously she became tameh. Therefore, she's forbidden to the wife, to the husband, right? Next part of the pasuk. V'kine etishto v'hi lo nitma'a. Now, what's that chidush on the side of lo nitma'a? The chidush, even though we don't know what she did inside, she's still forbidden to the husband. Isn't that a chidush? That even though it's a sefik, that she's forbidden to the husband? Yes, it is. So therefore, even though it says kinui a second time, I'm not worried about the kinui a second. The kinui is just written to tell me the same case again, but the hadush is on the v'hi lo nitma'a. So therefore, the derasha goes like this. According to Rabbi Ishmael, kinui, get this good, because we're going to see this logic three times over. In the case of kinui, it's like this. Rabbi Ishmael, v'kinui, v'kinei teshto is optional. What do you mean optional? Because the Torah says, lo tisnat arecha bel babecha. So I would have thought it's asur, that's why it says, v'kinei teshto, it's okay, you're allowed to. Oh, it's a shoot. But Rabbi Akiva says kinui twice. Not only to tell you it's optional, but it's mandatory. Oh, Rabbi Ishmael, what about you? It also says kinui twice. Now, the second time it says kinui is to teach me a chidush by lo nitma'a. V'kinei et ishto v'hi lo nitma'a. The chidush in lo nitma'a is what? That she's not, even though she's not teme'a, we don't know she's teme'a, she didn't do the act, she's still forbidden to the husband. We have a rule that any time there's a chidush in a certain section, so the kinui that's written twice is not teaching anything. See, I'm not worried about the kinui. The second kinui doesn't have to teach me anything, so long as the nitma is teaching me. So then we just wrote kinui again. The kinetis to vinitma, the kinetis to vilonitma. The chidush to vilonitma. But then kinui is written a second time, but nonetheless, like the Gemara says. Because the Gemara says that Rabbi Ishmael holds, like Rabbi Ishmael says, that what? Any parasha that was written and repeated, like this case over here, it's written twice. It was only repeated for the chidush of it. What was the chidush of it in this case? And she is still forbidden. So therefore, don't midayek the word kinui twice and tell me it's chobah. The word kinui twice was just written to tell me the side of if she was not tameh, then she's going to be forbidden nonetheless, which is a chidush, even though it is a sefik. Okay, so that's the first round. That's the case of kinui. Basically, what you're going to see in the next two cases is the similar logic, where you're going to see, one's going to say neshut, one's going to say choba. The one that says neshut is going to offset a pasuk that you might think that it was asud for some reason. That's what's going to tell me neshut. And the other opinion is going to say, but it's written twice, to tell me Chova, and the other rabbi is going to say, no, the reason why it was written twice was to teach me a second chidush, and therefore the repetition does not teach me Chova. Let's see now by the case of Tum'ah. Gemara continues. La yitama. That's regular Kohen. Right? Kohen, what does it say? He's able to metame to relatives. Reshut. Rabbi Ishmael. Right? Rabbi Ishmael says, optional. You don't have to be metame to the relatives. You can. Rabbi Akiva omer Chova. My tamad Rabbi Ishmael, I did dichtiv emor elakohanim bnei Aaron v'amarta lehem lenefesh lo yitama be'amav. Because the Torah says in the first pasuk they cannot be mitameh to people a kohen.
So istarika lebichtav laitama, to teach me. In this case, it's optional. Because you would have thought that it's asur, because the pasuk says it cannot mitameh. Commandment to relatives, it's optional. V'Rabbi Akiva, michi'im l'sh'ero nafka. Which is that we know already can mitameh to relatives. Because we have another pasuk that says, ki'im l'sh'ero, only to his relatives. So therefore, from the fact that it's only to his relatives, la yitama, what is the repetition of la yitama coming to tell me? Lamali lechoba. V'Rabbi Ishmael, la mitama ve'en mitama le'evareha. He comes along and says, no. You're right, you have two pesukim now. You have ki'im l'sh'ero, which teaches me really what? That I would have thought it's asur. Ki'im l'sh'ero comes and teaches me, no, it's allowed. It's allowed. Oh, but it says la'itama. Repetitive. No, la'itama, I learned something else from. You know what I learned from that? La'itama ve'en mitama le'evareha. Let's say you have one of the relatives of the Kohen. She was alive. Well, for that matter, even if she died, but her limbs fell off. The chidush is that the Kohen can only mitameh to the body and not to the limbs. The limbs, whether they came off when she was alive or he was alive, let's say amputation or something like that, or he was sick, or even if he died, the limbs themselves, the Kohen cannot be mitameh. Oh, so you're right, it's repetitive. La yitama is repetitive. But there's a chidush on that side. To teach me, la velo... So once already you teach me the Evarim, I can tell you the word Yitama again. Because I have a Hadush on the last side. So therefore, you're right. If you want to teach me the Evarim item, just say the word La. And I'll learn La, Velo, Le Evareha. Yitma, Lamali. Why does it say Yitma twice? Because it says Ki'im L'Shero. Then it says La Yitama. Shma Mina, to teach me what? Choma. ורבי ישמעאל, איידי דכתיב לה, כתיב נמי יטמע. לכתתן לבני ישמעאל, דתן לבני ישמעאל, כל פרשה שנאמרה ונשנית, לא נשנית, אלא בשביל דבר שתחדש בה. Which is, you're right, it couldn't just said לה. But once already you teach me the חידוש על לה ולא לאיברים, you can write the word יטמע again. Because once already you're repeating a parasha for the חידוש, you can repeat also the word יטמע again. Even though there's no hadush in that word yitma, it'll repeat the whole thing again. So it says yitma technically twice. Ki'im l'sh'ero, you can be mitamet to relatives. Then it says, la yitma, you can be mitamet to her, referring to one of the relatives. I wouldn't say yitma twice. No, it's not twice, really, according to Mish. It is twice, but it's not a problem to say it twice. Because on the la yitma, there's a hadush of evareha. So therefore, I'll tell you that tum'a is reshu. Don't midayek the tum'a twice, like the bi'akiva. Rebekah says, no, Tumah is written twice, because it just should have said La, if it was teaching me the Evarim case. We have to say La Yitama. La, v'lo Evarim. What is Yitama going to teach me? Oh, must be it is Choma. Rebekah says, no. Once we're in the Hiddush, in that section of the Pasuk, I can put the word Yitama again. I'm not worried about the repetition of Yitama. And don't learn it as a din that is going to turn into a Choma. Now we get to the third case. Third case, we just give an introduction. Evet Kana'ani. Technically, what's an Evet Kana'ani? You have a slave. We'll call him an Eved Kana'ani, we'll see what that means. And basically the law is that he's got to stay by you forever. Le'olam Bahim Ta'avodu. He stays by you forever. Okay, so the She'ela is like this. How do you get an Eved Kana'ani ever? Why? Torah says when you go into Eretz Kana'an, you got to root out the seven nations. Kana'ani, Ahiti, Perizi, Va'ivi. Lo tahaye kon neshama. You're not allowed to leave any living survivors in the land of Kana'an. So when was the Eved Kana'ani? How do you have a case? So the case is talking about over here where you have an Eved Kana'ani. You have a, let's say, a man. Or let's say a better case. You have a non-stranger. A non-seven nation guy. We call him an alien to make it better. He's not from the seven. So therefore there's no din of lo tahayek kol neshama. He cohabitates with a girl from Kana'an, okay? The child over there is considered Eved Kana'ani. That's the type of Eved Kana'ani that you're allowed to buy. He's not in the parasha of Lo Tahayeh Kol Neshama, but the opposite. If let's say you have a Kana'ani guy that goes out of the country and marries a foreigner, an alien lady, so that child over there, he's considered Kana'an. You're not allowed to buy from that. Now, in order to understand just the derasha smoother, let's assume like this. The ladies live in their place. That means the Kana'ani lady lives in Kana'an, the alien lady lives outside. It's the man that goes to the place to marry her.
which means the Kana'ani man, if he's getting married, he'll go outside of Kana'an. The alien man, if he's marrying a Kana'ani lady, he comes into Kana'an. Okay, just understand that as part of the Darasha. Now let's begin. Gemara says like this, Le'olam bahem ta'avodu. Reshut. Optional. Devrei Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Choba. My tamad Rabbi Ishmael. Now, I did dichtiv, because I have a pasuk that says, Lo te'haye ko neshama. What are you talking? It says, after going, I go into Eretz Kanaan, I got to destroy all the people that she says, Ha'chayti, va'girgashi, va'emori, va'kena'ani, va'perizi, va'chivi, va'ibusi. All the seven nations. So it says, Itztarech namel le'michtav le'olam ba'em ta'avodu. So that's what I had to say. No, no, there's certain slaves that you can keep alive, optionally, and, you know, use them as slaves. Have them as slaves. I mean, you could have an Eretz Kanaan. What's the case? Le'mishre ehad mikol ha'umot. An alien, we'll call him, Sheba ala Kena'anit, that went with a Kena'ani lady, Ve'olid memena ben, and they had a son, She'ata Rashai liknoto. And what's the Adush? That you can buy him. Detanya, Minayin le'echad mina umot, Sheba ala Kena'ani, Ve'olid memena ben, She'ata Rashai liknoto be'ahibit. How do you know that's permissible? Talmud Lomar, listen to the pasuk now. Vegam mebenei ha-toshavim ha-garim emachem, to the toshavim that are living by you. What is a toshav? Toshav is an alien. Toshav is, he's not one of the seven. He's from different nations. You should know. From the aliens that are living amongst you, toshavim ha-garim emachem, mehem tiknu. From them you can buy, which means he's by you. Why is he by you? Because he wanted to marry a Kanani lady. So he came from outside, he came into Eretz Kanaan, married a Kanani lady, they had a son. That kid over there you could buy. That's the case of an Eved that you're allowed to buy. Yachot afi Kanani sheba lahat min ha'umot. What about the opposite case? A man, Kanani man, that had relations with a alien lady. Ve'olid memena ben shatan asher l'totot be'eved. Could you buy that kid as an Eved? Tamud lomar, asher olidu be'arsechem. It's only talking about the kids that were born in your land. Now again, a Kanani man, where's that kid going to be born? Chutz La'aretz. Because what I tell you, he goes outside to get married. The pasuk says only min ha'noladim be'arsechem tiknu, when they're born in your land. However, min ha'noladim be'arsechem ve'lo min ha'garim be'arsechem, and not from those that live in your land, meaning they're inhabitants, but get married outside and have their children outside. So therefore, the pasuk clearly is coming to tell me according to be Ishmael. Let's go back. Le'olam b'hem ta'avodu. What do you need that for? Because I would have thought it's asur to have Eved Kanani. You got to kill everybody. Also, le'olam b'hem ta'avodu. There's a case where you're allowed to have Eved Kanani, where it's an alien that had got a kid from a Kanani lady. Otherwise, I would have said this asur. It says you're not allowed to have any lotayik on the shema. So the olam erkat tavod the conversation. No, there's a case where it's permissible. The Rabbi Akiva mimehem tiknu nafka. Rabbi Akiva comes along and says no. I know that already, that it's permissible to take one of these aliens that has a relation with a Kanani. The pasuk I just quoted you mehem tiknu. Mehem Tiknu teaches me it's permissible. So what does the Olam Behem Ta'avodu come and teach me? It's the second pasuk. One says you can have a slave, and one says you can buy them as slaves. So that's double. What does the repetitive pasuk keep coming and teach me? That not only can you do it, but it's a chobah, which means you buy them and you keep them as slaves forever. That's a mandatory law. Yes, it's obligatory. Oh, the Olam Behem Ta'avodu Lamali. Again, what is the Olam Behem Ta'avodu coming to tell me? The chobah. Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi says, no. You know what Behem is coming to teach me? Which is really, you're right. You know how I know you can buy slaves? Mehem Tiknu. From that Pasuk over there that says Mehem Tiknu. It's the same Pasuk, by the way. Incidentally, just so you know the old Pasuk, it's Vayikra Chafe Mem Vav. The Pasuk says, Le'olam Behem Ta'avodu, Uba'achichem B'nei Yesed Ish Ba'iv Lo Terde Bo Befarech. Or actually, the full pasuk is "Vitnachaltem otam lebnechem acharechem nareshet ha'ozal le'olam b'hem ta'abodu." Right? Which is the Torah said, "Le'olam b'hem ta'abodu." So, Rabbi Ishmael, it says it twice. It says, "Mehem tiknu." By them, is the "Le'olam b'hem ta'abodu." No, you know what the Behem comes and teaches me? Behem teaches me is a hadush. What's the hadush? Ve'lo be'achechem.
that you're only allowed to buy a goy as a slave, but you cannot buy a Jew as a slave, meaning in this case over here where you can inherit him to your children, you don't buy the Jew as a full-fledged kinyan. So again, let's review what Rabbi Ishmael holds. Rabbi Ishmael says, "Ne'olam b'ayim tavodu is it a shoot?" Why is it a shoot? Because I would have thought that it's a suit because it says, "Lo tahayeh kol neshama." Yes? That's why it says, what? Ne'olam b'ayim tavodu, that it's okay. So the Gemara said, what do you mean? That's repetitive. Right? I know Ne'olam b'ayim tavodu. I have a pasuk that says, "Me'im tiknu." So that's Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Akiva comes says, must be it's a choba. So Rabbi Ishmael comes along and says, no. The Bahim is not extra. The Bahim I need. Le'olam Bahim Tavus Bahim Velo Be'achichim. Rabbi Akiva Be'achichim. What do you mean? You can't buy your brothers as slaves? Be'sifatikla Nafka. That's another pasuk that says, U'ba'achichim B'nei Yisrael Ish Ba'achiv Lo Terde Bo Be'farich. So therefore, that's explicitly in the pasuk. So therefore, bottom line, what do I have Le'olam Bahim Tavus Bahim Tiknu to teach me? That's mandatory. Rabbi Ishmael, Aidi Dichtiv U'ba'achichim. You're right. I taught you already. That's already, I know that from the end of the pasuk. Le'olam b'em ta'avodu teaches me what? That I'm not over lo tahayeh kol neshama. So it rewrote the word b'hem, even though it's extra because I know it from Achaychem. But because the rule of what? Like the Tanah b'Rabbi Ishmael. The Tanah b'Rabbi Ishmael. Kol barashash ne'emar v'neshnit lo neshnit ela b'shvid davar shetchadesh ba. Again, same item. It can be repetitive so long as it's a chadush. So le'olam b'em tavodu is teaching me a chadush of what? That you're allowed to buy them. Don't think you have oved lo ta'ayit kol neshama. Yeah, but it says b'hem. That's repetitive because it says achaychem already. I know b'hem means them and not your brothers. And k'vat b'hem again. So long as there's a chiddush in that section, I'm not worried about the repetitiveness of the word ba'ev. So therefore, again, three cases, Rabbi Ishmael, Reshut, Rabbi Akiva, Choba. Amar of Chazda, new point. Zinuta bebeta. When there's znut in a house, when the wife is committing znut, when she's fooling around, she's going around, she's letting other men into the house. Ki karya leshum shema. It's like a worm that infests the sesame seed, which means it corrodes and eats away the entire seed. The same thing when a lady is committing adultery, what happens? The house goes to shambles because she's not fulfilling her responsibilities. She's not cooking, she's not cleaning, she's not keeping the house in order. Therefore, the destruction of the house is coming with the zanut. And not only that, but she allows men to come in the house and already the guy's taking all the husband's property. So therefore, what happens? The zinuta lebeta. When there's znut in a house, the entire house becomes destroyed from within, like a worm that's eating the sesame. Ve'amar v'chazda tukfa bebeta. Tukfa bebeta meaning when there's anger in a house, when there's not shalom bayit, when there's machloket in a house, especially with anger. Ki karya l'shum shema. Again, it destroys the house. The hakamim say that when there's peace in a Jewish home, so there's shekhinah in the house. Ish ve'isha shechina b'nehem. Ish, there's a yud in the word ish, and there's a he in the letter isha. That's yud ke. That's shechina. Ish ve'isha shezachu shechina b'nehem. Lo zachu esh ochaltam. Tzenat zoche, take away the yud of ish, it's esh, it's fire. Take away the he of isha, it's esh. Esh, esh is fire. So therefore, when there's chaos in the house, put him in there, that's the destruction of the house. Idi ve'idi be'iteta. All this is talking about when the lady's involved in it. But for this point, when the man is doing this loot, it's not going to destroy the house in the sense that it's not going to create this the destruction of the house like when the lady does it. Because again, it's not his responsibility to do all these things. It's the anger and the znut of the wife that causes all this. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ve'amar of Chazda. B'tchila, kodem shechatu Yisrael. Before the Jewish people sinned with arayot, in the times of the first Beit Hamikdash, hayta shechina shora im kol echad ve'echad. Shechina was with every single Jew. Shene'emar ki Hashem Elohecha metalech bekerev machanecha. God was in their midst. Why? Because they were modest. Because they were keeping the laws of modesty. But in the times of the first Beit HaMikdash, one of the sins they committed was gilui arayot, immorality. The Shekhinah left them. Shne'emar, Pasuk says, Velo yira'e becha ervat davar veshav me'aharecha. Torah clearly says that if there's going to be arayot, if there's going to be immorality, veshav me'aharecha. God, he pulls back. God moves away from Klal Yisrael. So as long as the Jewish people were committing the mitzvot of modesty, Shekhinah was with them. However, once they committed averot of gilui arayot, veshav me'aharecha, like Torah says, don't commit arayot. Otherwise, God is going to leave the mitzvah. There's no protection. The Mefarshim point out over here an amazing hadush. They say, when God left, it seems he left even the righteous people. It says he left the whole Klal Yisrael. So you see over here that even the righteous people suffer when there's immorality in a place. Because it doesn't say he left only the Rishaim. It says he left Klal Yisrael. Ela, you see why? Because it's a place where there's immorality, so the Shekhinah cannot rest even on the good people. Amar of Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar of Yonatan. Kol ha'oseh mitzvah achad ba'olam hazeh. Anybody that does a mitzvah in this world, mikaddamato veholechet lefanav le'olam haba. The mitzvah precedes him to olam haba. It's almost as if the mitzvah goes in front of him to prepare the road to take him to olam haba. Every time a person commits a mitzvah, he creates a malach. So therefore, that malach is going to precede him to pave the road to bring him to Gan Eden. Shne'emar v'halach lefanecha sitkecha. Your righteousness will precede you. V'chol ha'aver avera achad ba'olam hazeh. But if a person commits an avera, the opposite is true. He creates a bad angel. And what does that angel do? Me'lafafato, it envelops him. It surrounds him. V'holechet lefanav le'yom adin. And takes him to his judgment. How do we know? Shne'emar, because the Pasuk says, Yillafto orchot darkam, ya'alu batohu v'yovedu. Which means their ways are going to envelop them, and they're going to take them to tohu, to their destruction. So there's a very interesting Maharsha over here, that he makes a point over here. He says, why when it comes to the mitzvah precedes him. It sounds like it's walking in front of him. When it comes to the Avera, it sounds like it's enveloping, it's wrapping him. So the Maharsha says over here as follows. We're reading Kol HaOseh. He says, Mehayadua, Ki ma'ase adam molid mal'achim, kifi ma'asaf, hen netova, hen nera'a. Person's actions create angels. Good angels, bad angels. Vishina leshono lefi lashon ha'ketubim ufi ha'inyan, al derech mashal. Again, a guy when he does a mitzvah, willingly he's going to follow that angel because he wants to go to Gan Eden. So the angel just walks in front of him and he'll follow it. All the mitzvah has to do is like a guide, just to show him where the road is. Aval be'oseh avera, saricha molicho lekorcho velelafefo. Like someone's being taken to be hung. He doesn't walk willingly. They got to grab him again. They got to wrap him up, tie him up, and bring him. So that's why over there it says that the sin envelops the person because it has to grab the guy to take him to a place that he does not want to go. Comes the Gemara and continues. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kishura Bocha Kelev, that the sin actually attaches to the person's soul like a dog, which means it holds on like a dog that's biting, that doesn't let its grip off, that the sin attaches to a person like a dog. Shnei Emar, where do we learn this from? From Yosef HaSadiq. When Yosef HaSadiq refrained from being with Eshet Potiphar, right? He didn't commit that sin of immorality. But what would have happened if he did? So he tells her, "Velo shama elea." He did not listen to lishkav itzla, to lie next to her, liyot ima. Now, what's that double language? So it says lishkav itzla ba'olam hazeh, liyot ima le'olam haba. He didn't want to lie next to her in this world and not to rest with her in the next world. Because if he would have went with her, she would have latched onto his neshama and she would have been with him in olam haba. Because the sin holds on to the neshama and it's very hard to shake it off. So therefore, you know that it's kishura kekerev, that it stays on the person like a kerev. Okay, now we go to one more point. Tinanatam. Follow logic. Let's review quickly laws. How many witnesses do you need for tum'ah? One. How many witnesses do you need for stida? So according to one opinion we saw, you need two witnesses for stida. Two witnesses for kinui, two witnesses for stida, one witness for tum'ah. That was actually the opinion of the B, Yoshua. Okay? Now the Gemara is going to make some analysis over here. Tenanatam. We learned in the Mishnah. Coming up. Shaya bedin. I could make like a kavahomer. Bedin is a kavahomer. Uma edut rishona. Edut rishona is the first testimony. That's stida. Edut rishona over here is referring to stida. She'en osarta isur olam. The stida osira forever? No, stida is a temporary isur till she drinks the waters. But still you need two witnesses, Edut Aharona, which is Tum'ah, Shosarta Isur Olam, and Odin Shlodet Kayim Befahot Mishnaim. If Stira, which is not a Osera forever, you need two witnesses. Tum'ah, which is Osera forever. That means they have a witness that she did the act. All the mostly she need two. Right? Talmud Lomar Ve'ed Enba. That's why we have a pasuk to come and tell me Eden Ba. What did Eden Ba, what I told you, means? Ed means two. You don't have two witnesses. Eli, you have one, and that's going to be enough. But without that pasuk, I would have made a kavahomer to say you need two. That's why it says Eden Ba, to teach me even one is okay. Kol Sheyesh Ba. Even one witness. Kol Sheyesh Ba. Whatever you have. Now, the kavahomer the Edut Rishona Me'ata. Oh, now I'll go the other way. Once you tell me that Tum'ah I can get away with one, I'll tell you that maybe Stira can get away with one also from a Kavah Omer. What's the Kavah Omer? Uma Edut Aharona, which is Tum'ah. Shosarta Isur Olam. Mitkayimet Be'ed Ehad. I get away with one witness. Edut Arishona. She'en Osarta Isur Olam. En Odish Tkayim Be'ed Ehad. That's now went the other way now. So comes the Gemara and says, Talmud Lomar, Kimat Saba Irvat Davar. Right? By a case of immorality, what does the Pasuk say? You found in our Irvat Davar. It says the word Davar. Right? Ulhalanu Omer. We have a pasuk by monetary law. It says, Al pi shnaim edim wa pi shlosha edim yakum Davar. Ma Davar amud lehalan pi shnaim edim. Just like Davar by monetary law, you need two witnesses. Afkan al pi shnaim. Good. So too you need two witnesses for immorality cases, which means stida. Now let's go slow. That's not the way we learned yesterday. Remember, we learned yesterday, if I were to ask you, how do you know Stira needs two witnesses? We said, Ve'ed en ba. You don't need two witnesses for Tum'ah, but you need two witnesses for Stira. Now you give me a new derashaya. Now you tell me it's Davar Davar. How do you need two witnesses for Stira? A regular, you know, immorality case, Davar Davar from Mamon. So the Gemara says, Hay michi matza ba'irvat Davar nafka? Is that the source where you're learning that you need two witnesses for stira from davar davar? Miba nafka ba velo bekinui ba velo bestira. No, the source yesterday that we learned how you know stira is two was from ba ba velo bestira. Which means in tum'ah I can get away with one, but not with stira. Now this mishnah is bringing me a different source. How do you know one ed en ba? Very good. For that's for tum'ah. How do you know you need two for stira? Davar davar. Hey, what davar davar? I didn't learn that yesterday from there. I learned it from ba velo bestira. So the Gemara says, you're right. Achen ameka amar. You're right. Learn it like this. Talmud lomar ba ba velo bekinui ba velo bestira. Change the girsah in the Mishnah. You know what the source really is? How I know stira needs two? From what we learned yesterday. Ba ba velo bekinui ba velo bestira. How do I know regular tum'ah without a kinui stira that comes before it that I need two witnesses? That was the Gemara's question, which means like this. A stira, how much do I need? Two. How do you know that from? Ed en ba. Ba velo bestira. A tum'ah that was preceded by a kinun istira. How much do you need? One. Shnei emar ve'ed en ba. Two you don't need, but one you need. Good. So that solves those cases. Now I'm asking you a third case. How do you know a regular case? No, no kinu, no shtira. How do you know a regular guy comes along and says, this lady committed the act? How many you need for that case? That you need two. How do you know in that case you need two? Davar, davar. So the davar, davar was coming to teach you a regular, straight-up case of a witness coming to say tumah without a kinu and shtira before. And that's what it says. Minalan de'emar kan ki matzabar vatavar. ונאמר לה, לאן על פי שניים עדים, או על פי שלושה עדים, יקום דבר. מה הדבר המודע לנו? עדים שניים, which is by my money need two, אף כאן עדים שניים. So bottom line, this Mishnah taught me three laws. סתירה, you need two. How? עד אין בא, בא ולא בסתירה. A case of tum'ah that was preceded by kinu and stira, one witness is enough. שנאמר, Ed and ba. Ed means two. You didn't have two, one is enough. Kol sheyeshba, even one enough isn't enough. How do you know a regular guy just comes and wants to say the lady committed the act? That you need two. How do you know you need two? Ki matzaba arvat davar. You want to make arvat davar? Davar davar, min mamon. And that's what the Mishnah was coming to teach us. If everything is well documented, all we gained from this Mishnah is, number one, we can't make kavah homer, so everything is documented from Pesukim, and you learned the case of a regular tumah without a kirushtar, needs two witnesses like the regular din of kimat sabah arvat davar, davar davar, mimamon. Baruch adonai olam, amen, amen.